As we get ready to get started here tonight, we're so grateful to have our middle school team here giving us a little bit to get excited about with the holidays. And you have to enjoy the holidays with some food. So there's some cookies and some juice here. Please help yourself. We'd love to just share a special night with you. If anyone's here to speak tonight, we also have a citizen's comment sign-up log over here. Please feel free to add your name to the list. Leah is not, her son's not doing too well today. He's feeling a little sick, little guy. Yeah.
I'm going to call the meeting to order. Roll call, Jessica.
Here.
Rod.
Here.
Jim.
Here.
Jeff.
Here.
And I see our student representative is here. Thanks, Owen, for being here. I am also here. Meeting has been properly noticed.
Yes.
Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We are going to invite our eighth graders to do a song for us right now, if that's okay, so that everybody can have the benefit of hearing the beautiful music.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here and sharing music with us. We really appreciate you taking the time, and it was very well done. Thank you so much. Moving on to 1B. Can I have a volunteer to read the mission statement?
I'll do it.
Thanks, Jeff.
The Mohorv Area School District, in partnership with the community, is dedicated to nurturing, educating, and challenging all students, preparing and empowering them to be productive, responsible, and self-fulfilled members of society.
Thanks, Jeff. Moving on to 2, we have 2A is the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion by Jeff, seconded by Jessica. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, the agenda is approved. Moving on to 2B, approval of the November 15th, 2021 board meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jeff, seconded by Jessica. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to 2C, approval of the November 29, 2021 board workshop minutes.
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion by Rod, seconded by Jessica. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to 3. 3A is, 3 is addressing the board. And 3A, we actually did have our 8th graders perform their holiday music. That was such a treat for us. We really thank you, Dr. Salerno, for setting that up for us.
Mrs. Thule is just a remarkable professional, isn't she? If you get a chance, the middle school students are going to have their performance on December 16th. So.
Thank you. I note that. All right, moving 3B, and this will be our student spotlight. We have
Paul
here.
Hi.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great.
Good. This is Olivia. Olivia is a 6th grader at the middle school, and when we first asked about having her be the student spotlight, her teachers were just ecstatic about it. She's just come in and done such a phenomenal job in the first few months of school. I asked them some questions about you, and they just couldn't speak more highly about you being empathetic and caring and thinking about others. One of your teachers said that you have a sensitive soul that's hub-worthy, and she's just absolutely proud to be a part of your life, which I think is just unbelievably telling. And a couple of things that Olivia has done, along with a friend of hers, is number one, felt like kids should really be recognized and feel happy on their birthday. So she worked with one of her teachers and her friend to organize a way that every student in your house, I believe, has something on their locker on their birthday all year long. So how fantastic is that? The other thing was, a couple of months ago, you and a friend organized a Cancer Awareness Day where she emailed all of her teachers and reached out to all of her classmates and organized a 6th grade only day where they would all wear pink to school for that day. And it was a phenomenal event that no one really knew about outside of 6th grade, but just tons and tons of students and staff were in pink on that day. So those are just two little examples of the kinds of things you do to make Mount Horeb Middle School better every single day. We couldn't be more happy that you're here, and just super, super proud of the things that you've done, and looking forward to that over the next couple of years too. You should feel really proud about that. Everybody, Olivia, that's fantastic. Yay.
Olivia, I see some special people are here for you tonight. Who are these great people?
That's my mom, Jen Turk, and that's my dad, Jeff Turk.
Mom and Dad are so proud. I can see them recording and everything. You want to save these special moments. You know, and we want to mark this auspicious occasion, too. We have a little plaque here we'd like to provide you, and maybe if we could take a picture with you over here with Mom and Dad. I think I saw Assistant Principal Hanson here this evening. Good evening. How about we do that just right over here, okay? And welcome to Jessica Aragone. Jessica is our liaison to the middle school.
There we go.
go. I'll come on this side here with that. Put this here with you.
All right, everybody smile. Fantastic.
Congratulations, Olivia. We're so happy for you.
Well done.
Nice job, Olivia.
Yes. Thank you so much.
To 3C is school news. Owen, are you going to lead it off?
Sure, yes.
Fantastic.
Hi, everyone. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving break. Ate lots of food, all that fun stuff. Over the next week, our music department at the high school is having numerous concerts and activities. Both our bands are performing on Thursday. We have our holiday concerts. And then next Monday, our choirs have their winter concerts.
Yes.
So both of those will be at like 7:30, 8 o'clock. If you're looking for something to do, you can always swing on by, listen to some good music. Right before we went on winter break, our Mount Cora dance team competed at the Trojan Spirit Invite at, Wauwatosa?
That's right.
Wauwatosa West High School. They placed first in their palm routine and second in their jazz routine. I believe that was their first invite of the year.
Yes, it was.
So great first showing for them. I'm sure they'll rack up many more achievements as the season goes on. And then, as always, winter sports continue. You know, our boys and girls basketball teams have games this week. Last week, our wrestling team had a meet. Last week, our swimmers had a meet. Gymnastics is competing throughout the week. All that is going on still. Last Thursday, members of our DECA program and marketing classes attended Wisconsin DECA's Sport and Entertainment Marketing Conference in Green Bay. I myself attended as well. It was just a great educational experience. Got to learn a lot. Got to tour Lambeau Field, which was cool. And yeah, it was just a great time. And then the last couple things I have, let's see here. On Friday, students throughout the district wore jerseys to support a student named Jackson Sparks, who unfortunately lost his life in the Waukesha tragedy a few weeks ago. Lots of people did that. It was just really great to see our students coming together and supporting the community and people who we don't even know. Just very, very proud of our students for doing that. And then finally, over the past couple weeks, our club Interacts has been collecting donations for shoebox gifts, where they've just been collecting a bunch of items, whether it's school supplies, hygiene products, small toys, stuff like that, to give to children in need. I walked into the library today, and if you don't know, we have this little stage in the corner, and it was just filled with shoeboxes full of gifts. So again, our students are just doing an amazing job at helping out, giving back to our community, and it's just very, very, a very, very proud achievement for us. So yeah, that's all I had.
Thank you, Owen. Dr. Slarnow, do you have any additional
questions? Oh, so right, and it is truly heartwarming to see the love that people have for others who don't have the blessings we all enjoy. In fact, we put out a call to everyone in the community, and my office was full of gifts and materials that people had just dropped by to our schools. So we delivered those tonight, and we're very proud of our kids. The only thing I have to add is we're not even halfway through the year, we're already thinking about the next school year. We're welcoming the class of 2035. That's our kindergarten class next year. And we're already putting out word for people who are interested in getting registered. There's information on our district's website, and a message will be sent home to families if it isn't already been sent.
Perfect, thank you. Board members, any school news that you'd like to share? All right. We'll move on to 3D, citizens' comments. Dr. Salerno, do we have anybody signed up?
We have a couple of people tonight.
I see that we have quite a few there on the list. I want to remind everybody who would like to speak this evening that the Board of Education Policy 187, public participation at board meeting welcomes input from our community about topics germane to education. We ask that the speaker please provide their name and address for the record. In accordance with board policy, speakers should keep their comments to no longer than 3 minutes so others who wish to speak can and the full business of the board can be accomplished. Dr. Slano, are you able to keep time, or would you like me to, since you're recording?
Actually, you know, that's not a bad idea. Could I trouble you to do that tonight, please? We don't have a video recording, so we're just recording auditorially here on our phone tonight.
All right. And who is our first speaker?
Welcome to Miss Amy Lyle.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Welcome. Please come on anywhere you're comfortable here in the front. Okay. Thank you so much.
Good evening, board members, Dr. Salerno. My name is Amy Lyle, and I live at 605 Prairie Court here in Mount Horeb. And I'm the parent of an 8th and 10th grader in the district, and am here tonight to sincerely thank you all for the excellent work and investment that's gone into the diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts thus far. These are inherently tough and often emotional conversations as we confront the impacts that systemic racism has had, without exception, including looking within ourselves. And as school board members and school administrators, I know that you are most concerned about the safety of all students, as well as their access to education and their ability to learn. And we know that these things are linked, right? Because without safety, students can't learn. And students of color and their parents took a huge risk engaging in these important listening sessions that were offered, and I was so proud of the district for doing that. And when they were asked about their experiences with racism in our schools, they told you, and they told all of us, and it was heartbreaking. Experiencing racism as early as kindergarten, hearing horribly offensive terms on the bus, and what they had to say was not surprising. We know that we have work to do. What they also told us was that they have hopes for change, like the contributions of people of color being represented throughout every decade in the curricula and in books. Students of color and parents told us about changes they would like to see so that it felt safer and more supportive for them. And what parents of students of color also said is, and I quote, "There is risk in giving students and parents hope that changes will be made. Giving this hope and then not following through is worse than doing nothing in the first place." And I ask you just to consider this question that a wise friend of mine often asks when considering situations where it appears that the needs of one group or appear to be at odds with another. Who is most at risk here? Who is most at risk? And I can tell you, as white parents of white children, it's not our children who are the most at risk when we considering not following through on this promise of change that embarking on these listening sessions instilled hope for. Who is most at risk and who's experiencing harm right now are our Black and Brown students and their families in our school community. And NEMI is the organization that our school district and many districts across the region, as well as my own colleagues at the University of Madison, trust and rely on for education and guidance in navigating change when it comes to racial equity. So it's past time that we listen to our Black and Brown students and their families, truly hear them, and work to earn their trust by continuing on a path of change in the DEI work with the help of Nehemiah. Because the truth is, all of us, all of our children, will be better citizens for it. I'm sure many of you have heard the phrase, when you know better, do better. I want to do better. I want my kids to do better. I want all of us to do better. And I know we can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening to Angela Willits.
Hello, I'm Angela Willits. I'm a parent of a 3rd and 7th grader in the district, and it's hard to follow Amy, so I could just second everything that she said. But I just wanted to contribute that I am fully in support of what the district has been doing with Nehemiah, and really appreciated being a part of one of the listening sessions, and was so impressed with the work of the Nehemiah folks, but also folks within the district, and have been really proud of the our statements for our DE&I efforts in the district, and just really hope to see those come to fruition. And thank you for all the work that you've been doing to make that happen, and to all the staff within the school that are a part of the equity committee. It's been really great work, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Anna Halverson.
Hello. I'll come a little closer here. I second what they both said, and then I'll just add a short thing here that my name is Anna Halverson. I live at 202 Lake Street. I'm the parent of Lucy Halverson, who's in first grade. I'm here to show my support for the administration's efforts with Nehemiah House to make sure school is a welcoming and safe place for all students through their diversity, equity, and inclusion work. The administration is acknowledging that students of color experience racism in our schools. They are identifying the problem, not causing the problem. Racism that's baked into our schools and our systems hurts all students, and it's our responsibility as a school district to dismantle it so that all students can feel welcome and be successful in school. So I'm really, really appreciative of all the work you're doing, and I'll just continue to support however I can, so thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good evening to Anna King.
My name is Anna King. I'm an art teacher at the high school. I have two children in the district, and I also am serving on the district equity committee. And I wanted to just share a couple things about what I've learned from my students and from being on the committee. I think that we all want common things when it comes to our education. We want to be heard, we want to be respected, and we want opportunities to learn and succeed. And we've seen that the data shows that this just doesn't happen for all of our students, and especially our BIPOC students, or Black, Indigenous, and people of color. Our district obviously doesn't want to contribute to these inequities, but we may be doing so unintentionally. So the district, the committee, is looking at what we do and how we can do better. In reading through the listening session report, and talking with some of my BIPOC students, I just wanted to share a couple things that stood out to me, and I noticed the themes of being heard and being respected. So being heard looks like students want to see their stories and their histories represented in the curriculum in an authentic way. So not just Black History Month, not just the traumas, but the joys and the celebrations and the successes of people of color. Being heard also looks like, or the students who were part of the BIPOC listening session, all of them that I talked to were so grateful for that space that was created for them. They felt safe, they felt heard and valued, and I think board meetings like this can be scary. I mean, I'm terrified right now, but they can feel unwelcoming to people, so I think that making spaces like that was really important, and it was good feedback, and I think we did a good job on that part. In terms of being respected, we saw from the session report that students experience racism as early as kindergarten. Sometimes daily, sometimes multiple times a day. The students that I talk to experience both overt and covert racism. So there's things like derogatory slurs, but also like assumptions about their family life or their future plans or microaggressions, things like that. All racism, intentional and unintentional, the obvious and the hidden, it's all around respect. It all involves respect or lack of. And sometimes teaching respect is straightforward. You know, we don't name call because that makes people feel bad, right? Well, the reality is that our students hear like the N-word way more than you would think. They see it scrawled in graffiti. It's bad. And then there are less straightforward forms of disrespect or racism that we see, like microaggressions. And these are things that our students experience, so many students might not understand like why it could be offensive to ask to touch a person of color's hair, or why it's offensive that you might assume that somebody is going to college on an athletic scholarship, or why saying, oh, you don't even sound Black. Like, these are things that our students hear that build up after, like, over time, and it is hurtful. sometimes people don't mean to be disrespectful, but I think the reality is just that our impact matters more than our intent. Respect is learning to actively listen to others' experiences or viewpoints, even if you don't share them. It's knowing how to have dialogue, how to talk about hard things, how to calm your defenses so that you can listen. And I think that's hard for all of us, which is why it's so imperative that we're talking about these things in schools, to prepare kids to have conversations out there in the big world. And then finally, I just wanted to talk about why I'm glad for the partnership with Nehemiah. I grew up in this town and had a great childhood, but I honestly think that when I left here for college or for school, I thought that racial inequities ended with the civil rights movement. And our town was and still is pretty homogenous. I didn't see many people that didn't look like me. I didn't hear histories and stories. I didn't see many people in leadership roles that were people of color. It's hard to see inequalities and inequities when you don't experience them yourself. But they do exist. We saw in the reports, they do exist. And they're heavy enough for my students to feel unheard, unsafe, and disrespected on a daily basis. And that's a really big deal. So I think it's okay for us to say that, you know, our town is wonderful and it's diverse in talents and knowledge, but we might not have the expertise to deal with racial inequities. I met Karen Reese and Harry Hawkins of Nehemiah. Sorry, I'm going over. In the summer of 2020, I took a class or a workshop series called Hidden Barriers in Education. And I was just so impressed with the perspectives that they offered, the data and the research they provided, with the conversations that they were able to facilitate. So I was thrilled when I heard that our district was partnering with them for our equity work, because they have experiences and knowledge that we don't. So they're not pushing an agenda, they're really just looking at what our school is, what we want, and they're helping us get there. So I'm really proud of the work that we're doing, I'm proud that we're moving forward with it, and I want to thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Hi, Callie, Andrew Pissing. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Hey,
welcome to Watch Yourself.
Oh, Anna, but I have my phone. Hi, board. I'm Callie Ingebrigtsen. I'm a teacher here at the middle school, and I'm a parent of two kids, Marilyn in kindergarten, and Kenneth will be class of 2037, something like that. Woo, don't think about it. Woo. One thing that has stood out to me as a parent of white students is this fear that I've heard that by teaching the history of racism and inequity in our country, that our white children would be taught to feel bad or guilty for being white, which as a parent of two beautiful children is scary, right? That's a scary thought. And as a parent of white children, I don't ever want them to feel bad about any part of their identity. They are perfectly made the way they are. I do want my children to understand, though, that they have certain rights and privileges and advantages that their classmates who are black, who are brown, who are indigenous, who are Asian, simply do not have. I don't want them to feel guilty or bad or sad about that, but I do want them to work to help fix the system that doesn't work for everybody, because the system was not designed for everybody. As Anna mentioned, it's hard to see inequities that we ourselves do not experience. Just as my husband will never understand the unique experiences and struggles that come with being a woman, I'll never completely understand what it is like to be a black woman. I don't experience the world that way, so I will need to learn from those who do. I need to take their word for it. I need to listen to them. I need to believe them. I need to do my best to make the world better for every single student, not just my kids. I'm grateful for my colleagues, my administrators, our leaders at Nehemiah, and the board for joining me in this effort. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
Thank you.
Hi, Morgan. Morgan Phillips.
Hello, everybody. I'm Morgan Phillips. I use she, her pronouns. I'm a teacher at the high school. It is my first year here in the district, and I want to just like at first acknowledge that I'm like new to the community. I do hope to offer kind of like my fresh perspective on a person who's like just entering Mount Horeb now. One of the things that did draw me to Mount Horeb was that the district did have such a firm commitment to like anti-racism and equity work. It's really refreshing to see, especially like as a trans woman coming into a space, it's kind of something where it's like, oh yeah, like this is a space where it's going to be a safer environment in general. And after getting to kind of know my school, like my students, the school, the community, it is apparent that we do have a very long way to go in terms of this process. If you haven't checked out the community listening session summary, like, def, please check it out. Like, that was the one thing to do. It was wild to discover that, like, students are accustomed to hearing the N-word and other slurs on, like, a daily basis. LGBTQ plus students are being harassed on their walks home. Like, our school and our community is not always a safe place for some of these students. And students that are unsafe cannot learn effectively. If we're committed to, like, impacting educational outcomes, we have to start with culture. And, like, I recognize that this is absolutely a broader issue of, like, culture and, like, current political climate, and these are not things that the local Board of Education, like, has purview over. But I did want to throw out just some things that could be implemented a little bit more, like, immediately to kind of address some of these issues. One, increased transparency around equity. I feel like students don't see the stuff that is going on, like the fact that staff are being educated, or publishing incidents of harassment or the frequency of harassment a little bit more openly. I know it's a shameful thing to admit that, yes, we have this issue, but the community listening sessionings really showed to me that, like, hey, this awareness that these things are happening is kind of the step that we're at. Second is switching from a punitive disciplinary structure to one that's a little bit more well-suited to educating offending students on the impacts of their actions, things like restorative or transformative justice frameworks, because I don't believe our current punitive structure is really being really that effective at enacting change in student behavior. Three, increased staff education, of course. To use a personal example as like a trans woman within the staff, staff knowledge on LGBTQ plus issues is pretty low. And I can't really expect my fellow educators to support trans students if they don't have the fundamental knowledge of the issues that these students are facing. And four, improving education of students on cultural diversity and awareness. Frankly, I believe that many of our students are inadequately prepared to interact with people from other cultural backgrounds. Mount Hope students are going to leave our school system and enter a world that is way more diverse than the town in which they grow up in. And I don't believe we're really getting them ready to interact with future colleagues, neighbors, bosses that don't share the same background as them. It's a failing that has to be addressed in order to better prepare our students for future college and careers, and to address some of the current issues that are happening inside of our schools. Too often, statements of equity are well-written, well-intentioned, and often discussed, but they aren't acted on. I recognize that this work is difficult, but I encourage the board to seize the opportunity to double down on their commitment to establishing an equitable school community. Thank you all for your time, everybody.
Thank you. Good evening to Eric McCormick.
Hi. Excuse me, Eric McCormick, teacher at the middle school. Five kids have gone through, as you can see by my hair, they've already gone through. I don't have words that can express how much gratitude I have for the people that have spoken before me. So the only things that I can ask, and it's going to be rhetorical because I know the comment thing and stuff, but I see the Mount Horeb School District School Board as being a great vessel to bridge the ties that are against us. And I mean, there's so many things outside in the political arena or in the community that are pitting us against each other, where I see the board as a great opportunity to bring us together. And I really hope that that mission and that statement carries a lot of weight, because I think Mount Horeb, although we might have some wards, is a very good place to be. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening to Holly Smith.
Hello.
Oh, good to see you again.
I'm back again.
We're glad you're here.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm gonna switch up a topic just a little bit, because I know it's gotta come up eventually, but after our last meeting, I had a lot to think about, and I'm just speaking because I know with the mandate extended, you probably have to adjust to what you've already done moving forward at some point. I'm not going to rehash everything that I went through, but I hope I was really heard and that some, things got through and you can kind of understand a different point of view. It might seem like speaking in public is easy for me. it is not easy and it is not comfortable, and I do not like being up here at all in front of everyone. It is very difficult for me. However, I do feel, regardless of how uncomfortable it is for me to be up here, it's incredibly important that I do this. I do hope what I spoke about at the last meeting was understood, and as you make these critical decisions, you remember some of what I've spoken about. I'm here as kind of a visual reminder that throughout the district, there are students, teachers, and family members who live with various health and immune-compromising illnesses. While those with the issues may be a small percentage within this district, we must remember they are an incredibly vulnerable percentage. It might be easy to say, let everyone choose whether to wear a mask or not. But please remember, nobody chose to live with the issues they have, but have adapted as necessary to do what needs to be done to stay safe in these times. But their safety isn't completely in their own hands and can be impacted by others and their choices they do make. Please remember them as these masking decisions come up. After last week's meeting, I was so disheartened, as there wasn't even wording if they were vaccinated, it was optional. It was just let everyone choose regardless. In complete honesty, I got into my truck and I cried and I cried and I cried the whole way home, as I knew Robert and I were gonna have to make another incredibly difficult decision regarding Mac. I was so sad after 2 years that she's only just been able to return to school very recently. Mac has lung damage from all the treatment she underwent. It can't be fixed, and her lungs operate at 60% tile for expansion, so we have to try and protect her the best we can. It is scary having her go to school, but it's a little less scary when everyone is masked. If masking becomes totally optional in the near future, I don't know if we'll be able to let her go to school in person. After everything she's been through in the last 2 years, that choice would truly break our hearts to make. Mac has been vaccinated, but due to her compromised immune system, we don't really know if she developed an immune response. She does need to get a third COVID shot, which is scheduled for this week, but we don't know if she'll be protected by the vaccine or not. That's the same with a lot of immune compromised people. Some can't even get it because they are immune compromised. For 2 years now, we've lived a sheltered lifestyle to protect Mac. 2 years this week, she was diagnosed. Believe me, I get it. It does get so tiresome. It gets annoying and it's uncomfortable taking all these precautions each and every day. I am so tired of it all and would love nothing more than to go about living life like we used to before any of this. However, as tired as I am, I truly believe this is not the time to let our guard down and throw all caution to the wind. Cold and flu season's here. People are traveling and getting together to celebrate holidays. We're stuck inside more with the colder weather. Cases are increasing. I saw the numbers in the district last week, and the hospitals are filling up again. I don't know all the reasons you all signed up to be on this board. I would like to think some of the reasons are that you truly care about all the students, all the teachers, and all their families in this district, and you want to make a difference. I really feel for all of you with the incredible difficult decisions you have had to undertake during these unprecedented times, and I don't envy you. I know you guys have gotten hate mail and hate emails and Facebook groups against you. I don't understand it. Nobody deserves to be treated like that, regardless of how they feel about things. I'm just asking that you take a moment to really think and consider this small but extremely vulnerable district population when making these decisions. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Strong young lady, and she comes by it honestly. Thank
you. We have other citizens' comments?
We didn't have anyone else sign up.
Just any other citizens' comments? Citizens here that would like to speak? All right, we can move on to 4A, personal transactions. Anything of note?
No, not tonight.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we'll make a motion from Jeff, seconded by Rod. Because you spoke at the same time. Does that work for you guys? All right. Motion by Jeff, seconded by Rod. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 All right, moving on to consent agenda. Is there anything anybody would like to pull out?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Rod, seconded by Jessica. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. All right, moving on to six, our discussion items. First will be our FFA report on attendance at the National Convention.
Hi, team. Good to see you guys today.
Alrighty. Is it okay if I walked up front?
Of course.
Sure.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Tanner Baumgartner. I am this chapter's FFA president, and then there are two other officers over there, Griffin Helgeson and Gwen Mahoney, and our wonderful leader, Miss Allen. This year's FFA chapter had 40 members. I don't know if Miss Aragona can see her kid up here.
I can see him right now.
Oh, yeah. We had 40 kids on this convention trip this year. It keeps growing, FFA keeps getting bigger in our community, and the convention is a wonderful time to go on. There's a lot of fun that happens there. Yeah, the convention has three parts to it.
Can we go to the next slide? There you go.
Yeah. So we went to the Fair Oaks Farm. It's a pig farm, and then there's all sorts of cows and everything else there. There's a fun rope swing. Chandler and Cooper are up top playing on this obstacle course. And they have a lot of pigs in there. And there's Soren and Jeremy Radke. Yeah. And then Griffin's going to lead us on from there.
So there's, I think, four convention sessions?
I think that the ones that we attended,
yep. The only three, though, right? Well, there's different convention sessions. There's first one where you kind of get introduced to everything and what's going on. Then the second one, kind of forgot what happened on that one. It seemed the third one. Then there's the fourth one where you kind of end off and you say farewell and all that stuff. And next slide.
So what? Griffin, would you just tell folks where it was at?
Oh, it was at the Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis.
Nice.
And then at the Career Expo, there's a bunch of sponsors and friends and all sorts of stuff for students to walk around and learn and sign up for stuff. And there's the officers, all of them, actually three of us here tonight. We stopped at an arcade and played mini golf and all fun stuff. Fun scooters right around on. And went to a rodeo on Friday night.
That looks like fun.
Then Michaela Bray got the American FFA degree. We stayed and watched that.
So I'll tell you a little bit about the American FFA degree. FFA has four degrees. There's Green Hand, Chapter FFA, State degree, and then the American degree. And so sometimes we have graduates. You're actually in FFA for the purposes of degrees and scholarships and proficiency awards 4 years after you're out of school. So we often work with graduates to earn those degrees. And they do open doors for things like internships and scholarships and look good on a resume in our world, in the Aggie world. So we were pretty proud that Michaela, we had to do a lot of the work for the degree. It's a great big packet of stuff virtually because of when it was. And so, but she earned it, and we went and we cheered when she went across the stage. So
a little bit more about the convention. Indianapolis, this year there were about 60,000 people there. So it was a big thing. And we did some things behind the scenes to keep us safe. Students probably didn't notice this, but we arrived late or early to sessions so that we wouldn't be, I think only one time I personally got caught in a crowd. The students were walking outside, but we tried to stay, you know, not where there was a big bunch of people. And Lucas Oil Stadium, they moved it, and it's huge, obviously. So we sat up top or someplace where we weren't really with tons of people. We ate on our own, and, you know, so it was a little bit different experience for the students in that, you know, maybe we might not have allowed ourselves to get right in the thick of things, but it was a way that we could participate. My boyfriend, Dwayne Hellenbrand, went as a chaperone, as did Tammy Judd and Lori Burns. And Lori, actually, we had a room in another hotel in case we had to, and she drove separately from the coach bus in case we had to get home. And, you know, we just, it was kind of like with our Canada trip. We kind of did this when things were down on a low swing, and we were just lucky. You know, we of course, be really careful about doing these things. But Gwen's going to pass out. We've been stutter-stepping last couple of years with our program of activities, but we are in full swing now. This is what we do.
Thanks, Gwen.
And we've had a full slate this fall. Students went to leadership workshop. We did a community service project. We've got our greenhouse going and our greens team growing things in there. Classes full on, so I mean, life is resumed in the ag sciences world, and we just, Claire, you can maybe talk a little bit about some of the things that are maybe coming up. We're thinking about doing some speaking contests.
Yes, so last year the district speaking contest for FFA was virtual, and we're hoping that this year it will be in person, and so we're trying to have members go to these contests that are available to FFA members. I personally am hoping to be a part of the parliamentary procedure team for FFA, and so we're hoping that that will happen. We just finished up our holiday sale. That order comes in on Friday, so if you ordered anything, it will be delivered. And yeah.
Yep, we have our rifle team is going, and you know that we have a practice coming up here in December, so feels good. We're back in the saddle, and it's not quite like it is normal, but we're full on with our participation. And certainly, you know, we're appreciative of the board's support in our activities and helping us wrangle our way, and Dr. Salerno behind the scenes, wrangle our way to be able to participate in a safe manner.
And we extend our gratitude to you all for giving of your time and talents and providing this opportunity for our kids. How fortunate are we to have this hot world-class FFA program right here in Mount Horeb. Thank you so much. Do you think, Griffin, I could get you to join the team here for a nice picture that we can include on social media here tomorrow? Miss? All right, look at this good-looking group right here. All right. One, two, three. Oh, that's
Gwen's jacket's on the way.
It's on the way, guys.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
That was a wonderful presentation. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to 6B, our committee member reports. We will start with Jeff with our buildings and grounds and transportation committee.
That was canceled, and it's rescheduled for the 13th at 4:30.
All right. Thank you very much. And we can move on to Jessica.
The Finance Committee met on November 8th. We had one donation that we considered, a donation from Farmers Savings Bank for $1,500 to support the new eSports program at the high school, which passed. And then we also, Scott gave us an update just on various different things that are happening, including some new financial reporting requirements from the DPI, our annual audit, and all of the financial policies have been sent to WASB for review, and we've gotten feedback that we know that we need to revise. So this next week at our finance meeting, we're going to talk about the plan to review and update the policies as needed. And lastly, we discussed a draft of the 22-23 budget calendar. And as mentioned, our next meeting is Monday, December 13th.
All right, thank you so much. We have Safety and Wellness on here, but Leah is not here today, so perhaps we can get an update from her at the next meeting.
Sure.
All right, moving on to 6C, Board Member Candidacy Updates.
Good evening. We're so fortunate to have here coming up to the in the room is Shelby Cotterman.
Good evening.
Hi, Shelby.
How are all of you?
Good, how are you?
Good. So I'm here to give you a brief overview of our upcoming school board election that takes place on April 5th, 2022, as most of you are aware. And on the screen right now is the spreadsheet I created last year to kind of outline the behind-the-scenes process to a board election and what happens at my desk in the district office to prepare for that. One small revision I made this year is the state passed a new requirement for us to have a notification of non-candidacy publicized and posted in the public. And I also am going to be highlighting just a couple of points in our administrative regulation around board elections, but that's embedded in the following slides. This year we have three seats up for election, which is more than last year. We have Mr. Jeff Hanna, Mrs. Leah Lipska, and Mrs. Kimberly Saylor. And I'm going to go over some of our timelines for our documents. You have already considered the salary refusal form that was due back December 2nd. Next comes the exemption from filing campaign finance reports. We have a campaign registration statement due on January 4th alongside declaration of candidacy. And to make all these come together and make a little more sense, I break it down by decision points. So if a board member elects to not run for re-election, they'll turn in their salary refusal form on December 2nd if they choose to. And then the notification of non-candidacy is due at 5 p.m. on Christmas Eve this year. Since the Christmas Eve is not considered a state-honored holiday, that deadline sticks, but if you would be so kind, since the district office is not open on December 23rd and 24th, we'd appreciate that you turn it in to us on December 22nd, or by December 22nd. One thing I want to note about this form in particular is that if it's not submitted by the state deadline, by law we extend that deadline by 72 business hours. So that would be until 5 p.m. on Friday, January 7th. Then we also have the exemption from filing campaign finance reports. If a school board member running for election chooses to spend more than $3,000, they will need to file their finance reports. If your campaign does not exceed that amount, then that paperwork is not necessary. So if someone is looking to enter the school board and run for election, those nomination papers may begin circulating on December 1st, which is past, and they will file a campaign registration statement and a declaration of candidacy. Our Type A notice is the notice that we put in the Mount Horeb mail to let the public know that a school board election is coming up and what seats are available. We've posted the Type A notice in the newspaper, on the school district website, and the Mount Horeb Facebook page for the school district. Now back to the new requirement for non-candidacy to be posted. We are updating our district webpage as any notifications of non-candidacy come in. And I have that linked in the presentation mm-hmm. there if you'd like to take a look. Mm-hmm. Thanks. And this also has a lot of the information I'm sharing with you right now. And I update that as I receive forms. So, for candidacy, any public inquiry of candidates having completed the requisite documents to establish eligibility to appear on the document shall be subject to public disclosure as permitted by law. Typically within 24 hours after the candidate filing all documents is needed to establish eligibility to appear on the ballot, the board secretary shall notify the Board of Education and the community of the names of eligible candidates and identify if a primary election is required. So I wanted to point out this portion of our administrative regulation just to show these areas where we disclose what's going on, what paperwork is being turned in. You can find that on the district website and the district Facebook page. Does anyone have any questions?
I don't.
I have any questions, but thank you, Shelby. I appreciate that this information is all being presented and easily accessible this year, so thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, nice
very thorough. Nice job. Thank you.
Shelby, just real quick, some of the questions I have received, and you can just, do we need to have signatures is one of the questions I have received.
Legally, that's just the choice of each school district. Mount Horeb does not require signatures.
And can you remind us all how many candidates would require a primary?
The number of candidates to require a primary is double the number of seats open. So if we had 7 candidates this year, that would require a primary.
Perfect. Thank you.
You can see why we're so grateful to have Shelby be able to know all these details and do so and present it in such a positive way. So the thank you not only goes to the board, but it goes to you too. So thank you.
It's an exciting process to support the hard work that you do. And I appreciate your part in the process of the election, because I know it can be a little ambiguous because there's so many facets to it. So I'm very honored to be here to share a little bit of that with you.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing the clarity. That was very helpful. Okay, moving on to 60. So Leah is not here. Are we still going to be discussing the WASB board delegate review?
There's good news in that we have one more board meeting before we have the WASB meeting. Would it be okay if we postpone that to
Absolutely.
January 3rd? Included in this line item, though, is the actual delegate ideas that are being presented. Maybe if you want to take some time to review that to help the conversation next time, that'd be great. Please
Absolutely.
And thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving on to 6E, reflection confirmation from the board regarding public engagement sessions related to anti-racism and equity in our schools.
Good evening again, board members, and I'd like to express a note of gratitude to a member in our audience tonight. I'm referring to Mr. Harry Hawkins from Nehemiah. Good evening, Harry. We're so grateful for your leadership and all you've done to help us throughout these past, about 12, 18 months now.
Yeah.
And, certainly, Harry's here to answer any questions the board may have, but I thought maybe it might be helpful just to provide a status report as to where we've been as it relates to a number of topics that the board had charged the administration and the staff with doing since last summer. I'm kind of a car geek, and I've been thinking a lot about the question about why are we even going down this road? Why now? You know, we don't have a large contingency of a diverse school community right now, but we know, just like any car manufacturer, right now there's a lot of discussion about prepping for the future. And you see there the combustion engine and the electric motor that is now becoming more and more popular these days. Look at how Now they have frunks. Have you heard about this? You don't have actual motors in the front, you have frunks. And many of these companies have been thinking about the needs for their organizations decades ahead of time. And that's really what we're trying to do. We're thinking about the growth of our student population. We're thinking about the changing demographics that we know are already occurring within our community. And the call is now to begin thinking about how we serve all students and support their individual readiness levels. The goal is twofold. The why is twofold. Bringing people together. That's really been the purpose of these community engagement sessions, not just to discuss our students' needs of today and to learn about the experiences of our young people in the past, our graduates, our alumni, but to foreshadow and help support all students as we move into a new period of learning, and to set the conditions for our staff to be able to do their amazing work and increase academic performance for all students. We know the gaps. You've seen the data. You've spent hours together with us looking at the data, poring over it, and seeing our disaggregated data is not really where it should be. And we owe it to our kids, if not for any other reason, because I believe we really have a moral imperative to do good and right by all kids. We need to retool, like General Motors and all the other Ford plants. We need to retool our plant here at our schools in order to take care of the needs of the students that we will have the pleasure to serve. The moral imperative to me goes back to why I got into public education. We have public education because the future of our society depends on an engaged citizenry, a citizenry that can address the issues that we're going to be confronting in the years ahead. And I feel like if not for any other reason, the why behind this is we owe it to those that we serve in order to make certain that they have every opportunity to be successful, access to classes, opportunities to start at the starting line equally with everyone else. So you recognize that in your thoughtful action steps that you directed the administration to work on. This was in the late summer of 2020, early fall of 2020, you developed a statement that I think full-throatedly said this, you planted the flag and you said, this is where we're going as a school district. These are the four things we want you to be able to do and report back to us. Tonight, what I'd like to do is just kind of walk you through some of those steps. I'm going to have an assist here from Sarah Straka in a moment as it relates to the professional development side of the house. So let's take them one by one, if you don't mind. First, you charged us with creating an equity team that focuses on social justice and making certain that we discuss racial equity. And there's a continuum in my mind. This graphic nicely kind of puts it together in my mind for those people who might want to better understand the differences between diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice. We have our feet in the water in some of these areas. I think more so on the first three, and haven't quite gotten to the justice piece, as Morgan mentioned here tonight. The question of justice is something that will at some point needs some considerable discussion and agreement amongst our community members. But one thing is true is that we have our charge statements from you with regard to diversity, equity, inclusion. That's where we've been spending the bulk of our time as a team when we meet. We have been meeting now for a good 12, 16 months in this regard. We've been identifying common languages because sometimes terms are used interchangeably in and out of organizations and felt like that was important. We've been reviewing the research. This wasn't just about emotions. It's okay to get to feel strongly about something and feel impassioned about these topics, but it's also making certain that we don't do something that only exacerbates an issue. We've been talking about breaking up into small subcommittees. We have one subcommittee that works on professional development, another one on community engagement and the like. And we have been collaboratively dealing with issues that often or sometimes arise within our schools, a district response, so to speak, to discriminatory practices that manifest themselves in our schools. And I use the example of the flag that we had here this past fall that really was an opportunity to educate people as much as it was an opportunity to bring us together, which again is the goal, bringing us all together so that we can all be working together in support of, hopefully, I believe, a common mission. And this was demonstrated through the work that was done by the Equity Committee, the Police Department, and the Mount Horeb Mail that did a really nice front page story on how we need to be mindful of how some symbols can obviously cause some consternation for others. Please join me in thanking our Equity Committee members. They have really invested a great deal of time above and beyond all the other kinds of things that are on their plates. They are still finding time about a topic that's as important as this. This is the other action step. You told us to listen to student voices, past and present, and based on their experiences, make recommendations to the equity team. And if I were to say where we are right now, this is kind of where we're at. We're at the pause point right now. We have, as you know, listened and engaged our community four times. Two of those experiences actually had to do with listening to student voices, past and present. And it is our full intent, should it be amenable to board, to host additional sessions with current students and do that into the new calendar year. This could be with focus groups and opportunities for all-encompassing conversations. We look forward to hearing from the board whether or not this is something we can continue to do. We understand that based upon the feedback we've heard through the report, what you've heard this evening, and then from a small but vocal group of folks who maybe not be as supportive of this initiative as it's been designed thus far. And then the action step number three, you told us to review our curriculum to ensure that lessons contain accurate historical and contextual teaching on social and racial justice. And the work here has not really begun in earnest as of yet, as we felt like it was really important for us to learn about the community's standards about anti-racism and equity. We felt that was important first. Once the new year begins, we would like to host informational sessions for the community to further learn what is and is not being taught in our schools around this important topic. Talk about the scope and sequence of our curriculum. We did a little of that during some of our opening engagement sessions, but we wanted to spend the bulk of that time really hearing from our community members. But we know we have a duty to share with our community the resources, the curriculum, quite frankly, the state mandates around this topic. And the evaluation of our curriculum needs to occur so that we can identify where gaps exist for inclusion and culturally relevant facts. Some content areas have actually already begun some of that work around the new content, content state standards. I'm thinking particularly around English. Those are state mandates. So we have a state standard that talks about instruction that builds upon an understanding of the human experience. And literacy, language, and meaning are socially constructed and enhanced by multiple perspectives. These are two standards that are already occurring in our English department. We know we have some work to do around all of our content areas. Lastly, I want to take a moment to talk about the fourth board action. Here's where I'm also going to invite my friend and colleague, Sarah Straka, to the table. Sarah's been instrumental in the professional development side of the house for our employees. Again, to some of the comments this evening, being as transparent as possible with our community about what has and has not been done yet. Good evening, Sarah.
So we started our journey pre-pandemic, and back in about 2 years ago this fall, we had a training, and then we had another training in January of 2020, just on more of the foundational pieces. Anna was talking about bias and implicit bias and microaggressions, and laying the foundation of a language is so important. Then the pandemic hit, and our years shifted to everything related to instructional learning, technology, those pieces. And the equity work as a whole was put on pause. But we also took that time to form our District Equity Committee to partner with Nehemiah to build a stronger foundation than just their track at creating the PD, because to having a team of leaders, of passionate people, learning together to create an overall vision together. So that's where we are with our PD process right now. We have a vision based on our previous work, based on our learnings with Nehemiah and our monthly meetings with Harry and Karen, to create not only short-term but long-term goals with our professional development. And we realized it was important to get staff input, so we created a district equity awareness survey. We sent it out to staff a couple weeks ago. Within a week, I think I closed it, and we had 201 responses, which is, for a survey, pretty amazing when we have about 200 certified staff and many more non-certified staff as well. So we definitely hit that 40% threshold mark and then some in our survey responses. The PD subcommittee of our district equity committee reviewed the results about a week or two ago, and we're going to share those results with the whole district equity committee this coming Monday at our meeting. From there then, and through your leadership and your visioning and your direction, we want to start to create our 1 to 3 year plan. And that plan will not only lay out a scope and sequence of planning foundational and learning more about history and culture and those pieces, but also we're going to have just-in-time learning as well. The blue line flag that you gave Dr. Salerno is a perfect example. Learning, informing, educating each other on these critical topics that are in our society right now. Learning about critical race theory. We had at our staff meetings as well, just to make sure all of our staff are on the same page of what it is and what it isn't. Is those just-in-time pieces that we're going to infuse as they come up through our culture and through our society and in news as well. So it's sort of a dual track with our PD that we'll be having. But again, it starts with you guys, and it starts with that direction, whether we can keep going, whether we need to pivot, halt, and those pieces. So thank you for your work. I know you have people talking at all directions. And I appreciate your fortitude, your persistence, and your passion for this.
Thank you, Sarah. So we've talked about the why, we've given you the status report, and now the next question is the how. I've left this page purposely blank, and that's because we can write this page together. There are some things that have gotten started already, but we look forward to hearing from the board tonight a full-throated endorsement of the work that's been done thus far and a desire to continue this work moving forward, perhaps maybe even fine-tuning some of the directive, as many of us are eager to hear and be affirmed that the work that's being done has been powerful. We know there are external factors that exceed the reach of those assembled here tonight. State mandates, for example. What a wonderful opportunity for us to blaze a trail in a way that meets our community standards that we've heard through our community engagement process. So thank you to the board's work so far. We're well poised, I think, to recommit and retool for the students today and tomorrow. And for those who might take pause, I take us back to why we need to adapt. It's not going away. And that's a good thing, in my opinion. The time to adapt our schools is not when the need has been fully realized and we're having to play catch up. The time is now. The time is now. One participant's thoughts has resonated with me as well, and thank you to Amy Lyle for quoting that out of the report that Harry and Karen put together. It's better that we continue this work, otherwise it would have been for naught. And she said it much more eloquently than I do. We don't want to ever leave to false hope around a topic that's important as this. If the board does elect to slow us down because they understand that there's some concern from people who've come here before the board over the course of the past several meetings, I fear, quite frankly, we're going to find ourselves flat-footed once the change has become more realized within our community. And now is the time, in my opinion, to lean in so that we may set the condition for all student success for a world that looks very different, as we heard from Ms. King here tonight. You hear from organizations and companies all the time. They discuss performance data, They train staff for impending changes that are brought by external factors, and they're challenging their practices and their systems. That's what high-performing organizations do. Our schools should be no different. Our product, the students, in my opinion, is the most important commodity we have. And with that, I'd ask that if there's any reflections, thoughts, or direction that the board wishes to make for us tonight, we certainly stand on the ready to hear them. Thank you.
Jessica?
My two things. I think that if we are going to be an successful education system, we have to make sure that we are meeting the needs of all of our students. I think this is a fantastic time to reaffirm our commitment to making sure that all of our students feel like they belong, feel like that they are welcome, and that they have the resources to be successful. I think our listening sessions and our report from Nehemiah gave us some really good places to start to continue with the listening sessions, but you indicated that we might even do that starting next year. And then easier access to information. I think we heard about that from every group, and I really appreciated Morgan, even to our students, because I think we talked a lot about making sure all of this information was more transparent to parents, but also to our students, I think is really important. We could do something even similar to what we have on our website related to the COVIDs. You know, we have that blue box just related to COVID. We could have, here's our equity updates and what we're working on. I think that would be really helpful. I think that any way that we can continue to engage this conversation and make sure that we're all having the same common understanding of language, that we're sharing resources, that we can try to bridge this gap and that come to a more common understanding. I think we've talked also about having an equitable decision-making framework. I think for the board and for the school, that would also be really helpful to make sure that we are on the right path when we're deciding about different policies and procedures. Let's see, did I have anything else? I think that the recommendations that were put in our report were not necessarily recommendations from Nehemiah. They were recommendations from the community that spoke, and they just did a really nice job of gathering them. And I think that, you know, as we continue to say, what does our community want? Well, they shared with us, and I think that we should continue with this work, that it's really, I love the change of seasons, the change of year. So, you know, looking into a brand new year, this is a great time to reaffirm our commitment to this work.
Well, first I wanted to say thank you to those who spoke. Your comments were very meaningful and certainly gave me a lot to think about. And really, when I take half a step back from even the action steps that the board identified a year and a half or two ago, what are the pillars of the work? What's the foundation that these action steps need to be built on? And that's why your comments were so meaningful earlier, because I think they need to be founded on a commitment to safety, a commitment to respect, and then they also have to be built on a commitment to transparency. I think that if we build our work on those three things, there's certainly of others. So I do not mean for three things to be comprehensive of everything that we have to do, believe me. But I think those are among the most important. And I think those things are the things that we can build where we can build on, and we can focus on things like academic performance. Because I mean, ultimately, we need to wrap our academic performance efforts in those things, but academic performance still needs to be our number one priority. That's why we're here. Now we think we know that part of the reason why there is a difference in academic performance is because of those things that we need to shore up around it, and that is certainly true. Part of it is, though, that we need, as others have said, we need to take a really close look at curriculum and see where the historical gaps are. How can we leave kids with a better sense of history by filling in gaps, events that historically have not been taught, but have been experienced, in very profound and in many cases hurtful ways, that we need to ensure that our entire student population needs to have their arms around. So I would, again, for me, it's safety, it's respect, it's transparency. And I would say, listen, if we've got kids telling us that they found a particular place or time meaningful to them, we ought to bend over backwards to help make that happen again for them as well. But again, I have to return to academic performance and really focusing on bridging the gaps that we have in academic performance now. But I think the important thing is we all now, I think, have a better sense of what the foundation for improving that academics performance is.
Thanks, Rob. Others?
Yeah, I would echo a lot of the same comments that Jessica and Rod eloquently put. I believe a continued support of a conversation with student groups can only be positive. You know, we as a board cannot lose touch with the fact that we represent the 2,400 students, and we are here for those 2,400 students of this community, and to hear what, you know, they have boots on the ground. They know what's going on. We need to listen to those 2,400 students. As a teacher and community member, stated in the community citizen comments, this board has a chance to make a positive change in this community. And I firmly believe that that's accurate. At the same time, we need help with the community. And despite our split decisions on one topic or another, are different in background, we as a community need to come together and do better for what's right for Mount Horeb. And I think we have an awesome community, and I know that we can do that, but I believe we need to listen to these kids and continue the conversations that we've had going into the new year. And I agree with Rod that we cannot lose sight of academics throughout these conversations.
I have one thing in my notes that I forgot to mention. Because I think when we talk about transparency, and some may disagree that should even be a foundation for all of this work, but I actually think that's one of the key ways that we engage our community is by helping the community understand what we're doing. And so to me, transparency is helping people to understand precisely what we're doing and what we're not. And it's as simple as that. And we've got to be as straightforward as that. By saying that we're going to do something, that may upset some people. By saying we're not going to do something, that may upset some other people. But that's not what this is about. This is about doing the right thing. And part of doing the right thing is being straightforward about what we want to do and what we're not able to do.
I would have to say, with the three that Rod mentioned, that I would add the trust in each other to make sure that we in the district can get these achievements to narrow that gap down, and the online meetings. I couldn't be involved in the other three, but I would personally say that they should go on further with that, because you get a lot more information out, and the teachers will be involved in that, and the parents in the community, and be all together involved in. Everything works real well if you get everybody involved. And, you know, I've been here for 20 years, and all I've been hearing is how people are falling through the gaps. And lately, the gap's been getting a little smaller, but this is one gap that is going to take a long time to get small. Because when you come to racism, it's just people are going to be that way and some people won't be. And that's, you know, you just got to work your way through it.
Thanks, Jeff. Jessica?
Carrie, may I ask you a question? Do you have, you know, we've talked about the possibility of having some community-wide learning sessions. Do you have some examples of what has been successful in other districts or ideas for us to consider? Not that we have to plan it right now, but so we just start to think about those.
Yes, we've done a few community sessions for on behalf of school districts. We've done some with other organizations, some larger organizations. And essentially what it is really just defining, I would say two parts. One, defining what it is we're talking about. You know, you can take something as simple as family and say, oh, we're going to be family, and then you still need to define that. We're talking about immediate family, talking about extended family, what have you. And so defining those terms, the equity, the diversity, what that is, what it isn't, to your point. And then I think the other part is really just giving people a historical background. In our work, I know that people feel like they're at odds, but we've never heard a parent or anyone say they want something different for their kids. Everyone says they want the same thing. The real argument comes in how you get it. And so, you know, no one says, you know, I wish my kids would go and have a horrible day at school. No one says, I hope my kids have a substandard education. Everyone wants the same thing. And it's really just kind of removing some of the noise to help people understand that they're actually on the same side and want the same thing for their kids, right? And when you understand that, then you're empowered with the knowledge and the history. And so now it's like when you're watching a scary movie and you don't see the monster. It's always scarier when someone gets snatched out of the dark than when you see the thing out in person, like, oh, we can beat this thing. And so, you know, these issues are the same. It's very scary when it's an unknown, when you don't know exactly where people are coming from. But when you begin to explain how we got here and using facts and figures to say, this is what it was, this is what happened, this is what it turned out, then people say, oh, I can deal with that, I can navigate that. And so really it's education and it's humanizing these issues so people don't feel like, regardless of where you're coming from, everyone, really their dignity is protected. And people feel that they can now have a place to begin to connect with others. And so really just historical framework and then using stories and humanizing elements to help people understand that we're really not fighting each other. It's really just ignorance.
Thank you.
Thank you. Others? That's the last person to speak. I don't have a whole lot original to say, but I do like where the conversation is going. I would add something here, and maybe this is part of safety and respect, but I would add welcoming and supportive, because I think that's something that in all facets we really have tried to do here in Mount Horeb is to be welcoming and supportive. And I think that that is something that should be one of our focuses as we go through this work. Also echoing the transparency, similar to what Harry just said, I mean, the more people understand what's happening, the more transparent we are about it, the more they can get behind it and realize that we're really just all on the same side here. We all want our kids to do, you know, to have a good day at school, or, you know, just, those would be my comments. Others?
I guess I have one more thing.
Okay.
I don't imagine that you want us to go through every point in the plan, but another one that sticks out to me was a more clear response process for instance of racism. And I think, again, Morgan brought that up tonight. You know, in terms of how we're going to respond across the district to incidents and either share those or not share those and educate what's going on and how we respond. I think that would be also a good sooner than later step.
Thank you. I don't mean to put Owen on the spot, but
I was gonna, but I felt bad about it, so I'll let you do it.
Owen, your voice is so important at the table here too. What thoughts might you have, if any?
I mean, there's not much to add at this point. I think we've really hit hit the nail on the head with the hair. That's it. Yeah. That's correct. I guess all I would have to say is just looking at it from what's happening in our schools, at times there does seem to be a divide among students. And I don't know if that's something that's always been the case, if it's something that's been sort of perpetuated over the last couple of years. But I think, you know, we tend to stand close to those who we are comfortable with, who we share similar experiences with, and that leads to a lack of knowledge and understanding when it comes to interacting with those who definitely aren't as similar with us. And I think that kind of circles back to this entire conversation of, you know, certain instances occur, whether it was the blue line flag, whether it's a derogatory term being made, and it's not necessarily someone is purposely trying to hurt someone. It's that stems from a place of just a lack of understanding and a sort of ignorance to a certain topic. So I guess all I'd have to say is it's probably important to have this continue, have lessons start to occur in our education, because I know personally I feel slightly at a disadvantage, and this isn't like a personal attack on the school or anything, but I do think there are some lessons that past and present students have missed out on, whether it's you know, the origins of you know, derogatory terms, whether it's just the life of someone who's not like us, someone who is black, someone who is Asian, indigenous. So we probably should be having those lessons within our classroom, because as I'm going to point out Ms. Phillips again, because I think she said it perfectly, that the community outside of Mount Orban, the world as a whole, is a lot more diverse than we are, so we need to learn how to interact with others who aren't the same as us, who have different experiences, so that all our students, once they pass on from Mount Forum, can be functioning members of society. I guess that's all I'd have to add.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Owen.
Well, thank you to the board. You never let us down. You never let this community down, and this is just the latest example of that. Appreciate the thoughtful comments that you've had tonight. You've blown wind into this team's sails tonight, and we're looking forward with great excitement continuing this important work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the presentation, and Sarah, thanks for your comments. Harry, thanks for being here tonight. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Harry.
Yeah, thanks
thank
for
you.
Being here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, we can move on to 7 action items. 7A is our standing first meeting of the month COVID-19 updates. Or is Brian gonna?
Yeah,
help
Brian's
us out
gonna
with
lead
that?
The cause
Fantastic.
Tonight. Please. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Just have a couple of updates since the last time we met. As we know, since the last time, Public Health, Mascanac County, extended their order. But just a reminder for everybody to check the district protocols on our front page. We have updated all of those to be reflective of the board's decision at the last time about quarantining, but also in terms of the masking mandate as it continues through Dane County as well. So Those are updated. The dashboard is reflective of the changes. If you looked at this past week, it just includes the numbers of positive throughout the district. So those are updated, those two as well, as the Viking Pledge, and all of those do items do remain the same. So those are there. As we're entering holiday winter music program season as for the performances, in order to maintain the safety of students and participants attending our performances, we're kind of continuing to evolve our protocols even since our last board recap. So for example, many of the performances will also be live streamed, so that way if family members would like to attend that way, they have the ability to as well. But ultimately, we trust the staff and the staff's decision to meet the diverse needs of our audience members. So if you have specific questions about protocols, please don't hesitate to ask. And then just as a heads up, we did officially get confirmation that through the winter break time that we will have accelerated labs continue to do testing available. That will be from 8:30 to noon. And that's on every weekday except for Christmas Eve and December 31st. They did give us a specific quote that said, although Accelerated Labs has field staff available to test, the labs will be closed on those days. And parents should not expect results to be received within the 24 to 48 hour time frame during that time. And so they apologize for any inconvenience, but it's pretty much the quickest way to probably get results back. And so we're excited that they'll be continuing through the winter break.
So. Thanks for arranging for that.
Yeah.
Helpful.
Nope, I said great. Dr. Yeah. Salerno, can you just real quick talk about the turnaround time of some of those lab tests?
Yes, it's gotten better, but it's still lagging in my opinion. I think we're looking at sometimes between 24 and 36 hours. We've been selected by DHS and ACL, the Accelerated Lab Company, to participate in a pilot that would allow real-time results to families and to the school district. And it's designed to come at us a little bit faster. We'll have some more news to share about that perhaps after the holiday break, but we've been in negotiations with this outfit to see if we could speed up the process, because in our opinion, it's just not where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Brian, for your leadership, and of course, our health services team.
Absolutely.
Not just our nurses, but our health assistants and all of our front office staff just doing remarkable, remarkable work.
They're working really hard.
Yeah, they are.
Really
and hard. Our community has just been so supportive.
And we finished the last.
That's right.
The last
vaccination clinic.
Yeah. This last Friday. So we had about 152 students at that one, and then last Monday, so it total brought us to about 400 received, almost 400 students, ages 5 through 11, received their second shot. So, mm-hmm. So it was pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Well, stick around. You might be part of this next one here.
I won't go too far.
Anything else from the board on this topic? All right, moving on to 7B, first reading of policy 453.31. I didn't guess who's back again.
All right.
Welcome back, Brian.
Yeah, thanks. So this is always a fun topic, right? Head lice. And so this is, as everyone starts itching, right? This is a policy that we would like to update. DHS and DPI have updated their policy, and we're kind of meeting in the middle of it. So far, previously, we've had if you have any NITs, if you have any lice, you're automatically sent home. You get tested when you come back. You can't come back. And DPI's real policy, along with DHS and CDC, is really that anybody stays in school, regardless if you have active lice or not. And the policy that we have kind of reproposed and submitted is kind of a meet in the middle of that. We wanted to kind of start it out by saying, right, that head lice are present in the community at all times. Outbreaks are common in schools, and they do not reflect on a person's cleanliness or socioeconomic status. So trying to get rid of some of the you know, rumors or all of those components right off the bat. It's a nuisance, but it doesn't spread disease. And so what it'll say is any child who's found to be infested with head lice or untreated nits will be sent home for treatment. If a student with live or untreated nits is not able to be picked up immediately, they can remain in the classroom with mitigated measures in place. So that could be a hat, maybe a ponytail, a bun, maybe not going on the sofa, things like that are mitigating measures, right? And then the removal of all nits and casings are expected, but the child will be admitted after treatment is assured. And with just the live lice are not seen, that's the biggest piece that we're trying to get away from, is we don't want to have students to have live lice. So that's kind of the way the policy has been updated to be kind of a little bit more reflective and a little bit more lenient.
Questions from the board?
Can we do anything with this?
We cannot. We cannot pass this tonight because okay. We do not have all of the board here. Thanks, Brian. Awesome.
Thank you.
We'll see this again next time.
Okay.
All right, moving to 7C. Consider changes to adult meal charges effective January 3rd, 2022. Mr. DeYoung, welcome.
This is an ad topic. Thanks to Anne. So Michelle Dink, our food service director, as you all know, received information from the Department of Public Instruction stating that school districts need to review their prices for, of all things, not student meals, because right now all student meals, as you know, throughout the school years, is still free, but rather adult prices. And so it's why it seems a bit odd that we're, you know, approaching midway through the school year and we're talking about changing adult meal prices. But the requirement from participation in the federal school lunch program is requiring, as you can see here, to increase our adult meal prices from $3.50 to $4.25, and then increasing our adult breakfast from $2.25 to $2.50. So this isn't a Mount Horeb is looking to do this. This is a expectation that we're responsible for fulfilling based on the increased costs that they're seeing nationwide with food prices and labor and so forth. And so they're looking for school districts to make their adult prices similar to the reimbursements that we're receiving for student lunches that are given every day. So it's an action item that we'd be looking for the board to make a
motion to improve the lunch price for staff and visiting adults to $4.25 and to $2.50 for breakfast effective January 1, 2022.
Second. Motion by Rod, seconded by Jessica. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, now we will move on to number 8, citizens' comments.
No one signed up.
We don't have anybody signed up. Any citizens that would like to provide comment tonight? All right. Hearing none, we'll move on to 9, future agenda items. Those are listed as always. You can send requests for future agenda items to Dr. Salerno and Kimberly for consideration at board meetings. Moving on to 10, our schedule of next meetings. Is there anything of note?
Not anything more than we've already discussed. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. So we'll move on to 11, closed session. Contemplated closed session per section 19.85, paragraph 1, subparagraph C, considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee of which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility, and E, deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session. This will be a roll call vote. Jessica?
Yes.
Rod?
Aye.
Jim?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And I'm also a yes. We'll take 5 minutes and come back.
Please grab some cookies. I baked them myself.
Just the
cookies
get to stay
there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know.
She's interested all the way along. That is not the question of whether you begin. Oh, right.
Thank you so much for the
How are you?
How's it going?
Good. How are you there?
Good.
I don't remember you anymore.